You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Martin Luther and other leaders of the Reformation got a revelation that the just shall live by his faith. Though Martin Luther was a Roman Catholic priest, this revelation that the just shall live by his faith told him and others in the Reformation that they didn't need the priest, they didn't need the sacraments, they didn't need the magisterium of the church. They were to be the church. They had an unction from the Holy One, and they were to know all things by the word, the more sure word which was written, and the Holy Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Messiah, the Spirit of truth and holiness. And there's only one faith that is the faith. Very definite article. And faith is belief plus the Holy Ghost. And by the Holy Ghost, Martin Luther and others like him got this revelation. Now, Martin Luther was a priest. He was part of the Roman Catholic Church, which was pretty much the only game in town. Now, there was always a persecuted faithful remnant underground church. And in fact, Vatican Rome put Muhammad in the religion business to stomp out not just Jews that the Roman Catholic Church has always hated, but also people of the book. You see, Roman Catholics are not people of the book. People who really believe the Word of God. People who live by God said so. They know what God said, and they are fully determined to do what God said just because God said so. Whether it makes sense, whether they understand it or not, they're just going to do it because God said so. Yeah, or die trying. Amen. Now, Rome, or its Nicolaitan spirit, hates these people of the book. And that's why they put Muhammad in the religion business. The Bible is full of paradoxes. And we need to understand this one. You know, one of the great tools of discernment in these days of massive confusion and strong delusion is to ask people what they think about Jews, what they think about Israel. And if they do not love and bless the Jews and identify as being part of Israel, you watch out, child of God. That brother who thinks he's a brother is walking disorderly. There's no question that God's eternal purpose in the earth is the church. But this church, if it is a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, knows he was crucified for the crime of being king of the Jews. Is he your king? Israel is God's family name. It is his great and holy name that the Lord Jesus Christ got himself in the earth when he identified himself as the God of Israel, who gave the Torah to Moses, who wrote with his finger in stone God's royal law of love, life, and liberty. Yes, Jesus is the God of Israel, and he's the only true God. And it was the will of the Father to send him to be the propitiation, the payment. The payment that was necessary in order that the offense to God's holiness of any or all sin could receive the grace of God and mercy of God and the forgiveness of God, and that God could still consign Satan and all his followers to an eternal lake of fire, which was created for the devil and his angels. All the wisdom of God is beyond understanding. And the Bible is full of paradoxes. Paradoxes are difficult for grown-ups. Children just take them in stride. But a paradox are things that on the surface appear to be contradictory, but in fact both are true. That's what a paradox is. And an important paradox is that if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. And yet the Bible is filled with these things that God says we are supposed to know. That's a paradox. It's not a contradiction. So I'm going to look at some of these things in the letters of Paul to the church in Thessaloniki that have to do with things that we're supposed to know. So what I'm going to do first is just carefully read both Book of Thessalonians 1 and 2. And then after that, I'm going to go through some of these things that we are supposed to know. These books are so important because the description that we find of the days in which we now live and the direction for this time in which we now live until we get to the end of this Antichrist 42-month war on the saints is as explicit in these books as one could find anywhere. So listen carefully as we just carefully read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before, we were shamefully entreated, as you know. At Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doeth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which you heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. And wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God? Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that our Lord, the Lord, is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Wherefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations, that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts unto the love of God, and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow. But to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any work not, neither should he eat. For we hear that there is some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work with and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always, by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle. So I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 4 and 5. Knowing, brethren, beloved. This is something you better know. Never doubt this one. Knowing, brethren, beloved. Knowing, brethren, beloved. Brethren, take a look at the cross and know this. You are loved by God. Look what your King and your God did to give mercy to you and me. We better know that. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. See, God picked you. He elected you. You didn't vote for God. God voted for you on the cross. Glory to God. You got to know that. You got to know that. Your King and your God elected you on that cross. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. When you get the privilege to share this good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for sinners and was raised again for our justification, when you get the opportunity to share that with someone who's never had opportunity to hear it, expect God's power to be manifest. Expect it. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. You see why you expect it? For our gospel came not unto you in word only. See, anybody can doubt our words or challenge our words. But what shuts the mouth of those who would try to stand against the gospel. What shuts the mouth of those who are ignorant of the gospel and try to stand against the gospel. What shuts the mouth is the manifest power of God. And this is why we need to expect God's power to be manifest if we get this privilege to share this precious gospel, this glorious gospel, with someone who's never really, who is genuinely ignorant of it. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Hallelujah. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God. And this is where the boldness comes from. Don't let boldness come from vanity. That's where most boldness comes from. But let your boldness come from God. But even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel. Very definite article. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Expect contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. Do you hate guile? The more you love the one who is the truth personified, the more you hate guile in any form. Deceit. That is not true. Guile. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God. That's where the focus needs to be. Let's please God. Let's be Jews who are God pleasers. That's the meaning of a Jew. That's the best primary foundational definition of a Jew. Now, it's different than the definition and understanding that we should have 95% of the time that we hit that word Jew in the New Testament. Normally, that word Jew in the New Testament is used to distinguish a particular small people group of Judean Jews attached to the Temple Mount who were opposing the gospel. but truly in its meaning. Messiah was crucified for the crime of being king of the Jews, king of the God-pleasers. You see how that fits, don't you? He was crucified for being king of the God-pleasers. That's what a Jew is. You hate Jews. You hate God-pleasers. You're going to find the extra crispy section of hell. And I don't care who it was that told you that you're born again. He lied to you. If you're born again, you love Jews. You cannot find a truly born-again person that doesn't love Jews, even though he never met one. You can't go around hating anybody and say you're a Christian. That's absurd. There's no such thing as a Christian Jew hater. No such thing. You hate Jews, you're not a Christian. You're not. You can't be. It's impossible. Mutually exclusive. It's an oxymoron. And this is one of your great tools of discernment in this time. Neither at any time used we flattering words. As you know, do you hate flattery? Somebody flatters you? Do your spiritual antennas jump up a notch or two? They should, especially in this time, because it's by flattery that the Antichrist will corrupt people who don't know God. They that do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flattery. That's the Antichrist. He's going to corrupt people who do wickedly against the covenant. What's the covenant? The Ten Commandments. Faith works by love. That's what Ten Commandments are. Ten simple instructions in love. Four, I love God. Six, I love your neighbor. They that do wickedly against the covenant shall the Antichrist corrupt by flatteries. So watch out for flattery. We're vain creatures. We're susceptible to it. Watch out for it. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Fight covetousness with all of your being. Fight covetousness. We're going to have afflictions. Paul said that no man should be moved by these afflictions, his afflictions. And then he's also talking about the afflictions that you and I are going to have. We're going to be afflicted. This is the Antichrist war on the saints. And there's no persecution like religious persecution. And the world is going to be full of people that, just like the Muslims, think they're serving God by killing and torturing people that don't buy their brand of religion. See, all the brands of religion except one are brands of religion of Satan. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. Don't let these afflictions be moving you. They will move most people, but not God's true born-again family of God called Israel. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereto. Do you know that you're appointed to affliction? Do you know that? Like Brother Ebenezer said, oh, glory to God. He said, Jim, you know, when a man really gets born again, it's the worst day of his life. Say, what? Say, well, think about it. You just don't fit anywhere in this world anymore. It's true. You just really don't fit anywhere in this world anymore if you are truly born again. Do you know you're appointed to affliction? You should know that. You should know that. Well, we don't like it, but you should know that you're appointed to affliction. That's something you're supposed to know. God said so. But he'll be with you. Glory to God. Richard Wurmbrand, 14 years in solitary confinement in a box where he couldn't even stand up straight, testified that those were the best 14 years of his life because of the intimacy of the fellowship that he had with Christ, the fellowship of his sufferings, the intimacy of that fellowship. Awesome. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. Anybody telling you you're not going to suffer tribulation? They're a liar. I'm sorry. Maybe you don't like to hear this. But no faithful minister of the gospel will tell you that you're not going to suffer tribulation. I'm sorry. He may be honestly ignorant and honestly deceived, and if he went to seminary, probably he is deceived by his seminary professors who told him that we should not suffer tribulation. But you want the truth? Paul, the apostle, speaking by inspiration and authority of the Holy Spirit, the word of God says, "For verily, for truly, when we were with you, we told you before that we," that's everyone who is part of the body of Christ, "that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know." Do you know what a lie pre-trib la-la land is? Huh? It's a lie. Not one verse in the Bible supports it. Not one in context rightly divided by the Holy Ghost. "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know of your faith." Now, most people, when they suffer tribulation, will leave the faith. That's the seed that fell on the stony ground. Oh, it sprung up early, looked good, even sprung up faster than the seed that fell in the good ground. But as soon as the tribulation and persecution came, as soon as the sun came up and the heat got turned up, they fell away. And that's why Muslims make such good Christians, the ex-Muslims, because they got to count the cost. You better count the cost, because you are appointed to affliction. You are appointed to affliction and tribulation. And anybody telling you otherwise is not telling you the truth. Paul went on to say, "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." Do you know the commandments? Do you know the commandments? You think the commandments that Jesus wrote in stone were any different than the commandments that Paul gave to the churches in Thessaloniki? Those Ten Commandments are still the only thing that the Holy Spirit uses to draw any man to Christ. That is the goal of the law. That is the end of the law. That is the purpose of the law. To show every man how guilty he is before a holy God and how much that he needs a Savior. This is why most can never receive the gospel. "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." Do you know the will of God? Do you know the will of God? Here's the most explicit statement of the will of God you're going to hear. And I hope you see how it ties in to what Paul said, "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification." Faith works by love, and there's 10 instructions in love, and those 10 commandments are the very same commandments that Paul gave the church in Thessaloniki. And any faithful minister of the gospel will give all 10 of those commandments, including the 4th one, in spite of what the Pope says, that the Pope had authority to change the 4th commandment. No, he didn't have that authority. But you want to know the will of God, this is it, even your sanctification. "Set apart unto God, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification." You follow those 10 commandments, you'll walk in faith, which works by love. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Glory to God. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Do you know the truth? That we're all ignorant? Ooh, I don't like that. The more you know, the more you know you don't know. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Seventh-day Adventists are ignorant on this one. Boy, are they ignorant. They believe in soul sleep. I'll tell you what the truth is. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When you die, you either are in Christ or you're in hell. Seventh-day Adventists are real ignorant on this one. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. You know, if somebody dies, it looks like they're asleep. No, their body's dead. They're not sleeping. If you're sleeping, you're breathing. Hallelujah. And God breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. And that doesn't stop when you die. Jesus said, "He that believeth in me will never die." Do you believe this? Now, when you die, your body dies. But your soul and spirit, they go right on. And they're either in Christ or they're in hell. It's just that simple. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We're not sorry when someone dies. Yeah, we grieve because we love them and we miss them, but we don't sorrow as others when someone dies, if we know they died in Christ. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. See, people who are not in Christ have no hope. They don't have any hope. Muslims, every Muslim's going to hell. They know it. In their heart of hearts, they know it. In their heart of hearts, they know Muhammad is burning in hell. And if Muhammad, who gave them the Quran, is burning in hell, what chance do they have? They have no hope. Well, they give them this false hope of being a martyr for Allah. That's just like Satan, isn't it? But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, if we believe that. See, Muslims don't believe that. That's their problem. That's why Satan's got him in such bondage. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now this is where Seventh-day Adventists get some of their soul sleep, but you know, a body's either dead or it's alive. It's still alive when it's sleeping. But we don't die if we're in Christ. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is God said so. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord. And what does that mean, not prevent them? That means we're not going to be with the Lord before the ones who died in Christ. No. They've been with him since they died. And they're never going to not be with him. So when he comes back, they're coming back with him. And they'll get their glorified body before we do. And then we, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They'll get their glorified bodies before we do. Then we get our glorified bodies, and then we either fly or we fry. When the Lord comes back with the brightness of his coming, the elements are going to melt with fervent heat, and you either fly or you fry. You ain't going to be treading water like some tried to do in the flood of Noah's day. No, you either fly or you fry. You can't fly with the body you got now. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. You see that? You either fly or you fry. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You need a glorified body to do that. You can't do that with the body you got now. No, you can't. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, who's coming back to the place that he took off from, to the Mount of Olives. To this earth, not some new heaven, not some new earth, to this earth, to reign with his saints on Mount Zion in the 3,600 square mile big church of the firstborn for 1,000 year Sabbath. Hallelujah, what a time it's going to be. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's okay if you die in Christ. It's okay if they chop your head off because you don't want to take their stupid 666 base mark of the beast biochip. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. I'm glad you understand the times and the seasons. I'm glad you understand how you can count down and should be able to know how to count down the final 75 days before you get your glorified body, before the Lord Jesus Christ does return. You're supposed to know that. But of the times and seasons, brethren, we're in the Antichrist war on saints. Just take a look around you. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night on the world. There's only going to be a few people who know what you know about these times, how to count down those final 75 days. There's only going to be a few people who know that. But you know that. And if you don't, you ought to ask me about it. You ought to ask somebody that knows about it. But one thing we do know, the people of this world are not supposed to know. Oh, it's going to be like a thief in the night to those who are not in Christ. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh, so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, ding, 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 what do you hear? World peace. Peace and safety. Peace and security. Peace, peace, they say, and there is no peace. We're ready for the biggest war anybody's ever imagined. And it's probably going to happen this summer. I'll be praising God if it doesn't, but it's probably going to happen this summer. Global strategic thermonuclear war. Worse than anybody's worst nightmare. That's okay. If you're in Christ, it's all right. If you're not in Christ, you better get in one big hurry to be in Christ. For when they shall say peace and safety, that's now. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction, that's Obama. He's the crown of the Bush, Clinton, Bush. Obama is the crown of the Bush-Clinton-Bush syndicate of sudden destruction. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. My brothers and sisters in Christ, you, brothers and sisters in Christ, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. No, you know how to count down to final 75 days, don't you? And you don't need a chart. And you don't need a poobah. All you need is the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. And therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. That is for sure. Now, one thing that's important now in this time, and just as Paul beseeched and cried out to that church in Thessaloniki, brethren, we beseech you to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. Do you like admonishment? You should know. If God has called and anointed and ordained someone, you should recognize that by the Holy Spirit. You really should. It's part of the package. And esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now, some of this duty of love is to warn them that are unruly. You find somebody who's unruly, you have a duty to warn them. And there's a lot of unruly people, a lot of people who don't know what God said. And if they're not walking according, if they're not talking according to what God said, you need to warn them. That's the duty of love. Now, we don't judge those outside the body, but if somebody claims to be a Christian, they come under the judgment of the Word of God. And it is our duty, brethren, as part of the church, as part of Israel, as part of the family of God, when we find somebody who is unruly, we have a duty to warn them. Now, they ain't gonna like it, but see, they're just pretending to be brethren. Most of them will separate themselves when you give them the warning and the admonishment. That's okay. That's their problem. That's not your problem. Your problem is you don't want God to hold their blood accountable on your hands because you didn't have the courage to give them the warning that they needed. Now, if they reject the warning and separate themselves, that's their problem. That's not your problem. But it is a duty to warn people who claim to be Christians and are unruly. And if they don't love the Jews and Israel and don't identify with Israel as being part of Israel, they're not brethren. And you need to warn them. They are not brethren. You need to warn them. They better quit trying to pretend to be brethren, and they need to get born again, no matter how spiritually superior they think they are. They are going to hell, and you need to warn them. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. And be patient toward all men. Be patient toward all men. Not just brethren. All men. Be patient toward all men. And see that none render evil for evil unto any man. You let God handle all vengeance. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. This is a command of God. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. These are commands of God, as surely as anything else in the Bible. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You say you're a Christian. You must do this. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing in everything. Everything. The good stuff and the bad stuff both. Even in the persecution. In everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. How do you prove it? With this more sure word by the Holy Spirit of truth. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. There are things that we need to know We need to glory in our tribulations. Now, we may not like tribulation, but we need to glory in it. And anybody that told you you're not going to have to go through the time of Jacob's trouble, the 42-month Antichrist war on the saints, or the Great Tribulation, anyone that told you that you're not going to have to go through that has lied to you. It's not true. So we need to get ready and we need to be prepared. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see one of the most explicit descriptions of our time that you could read anywhere. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, standeth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. We see these two conditions in our time. They've never been seen before, but we see them in our time. We began to reveal the identity of the Antichrist in 1993. Many people now know his identity, and we know of a certainty that the Antichrist, either in person or by way of his false prophet, second beast, false prophet, Pope, will be the one who stops the morning and evening oblation altar that will soon be set up on Temple Mount. And when he stops it, that will be at the consummation, that will be day 1260. Everybody will have 30 days to get their 666 based chip in their right hand or forehead, or be counted as an enemy of all citizens of the global society, to be killed as quickly as possible. Blessed and holy is he that endureth to the 1335th day. When the Antichrist in person or his false prophet Pope stops that morning and evening oblation, that's day 1260. 75 days later, the Lord will be here. You don't need a chart. You don't need some prophecy guru. You just need to read the Word of God carefully in Daniel as the Lord instructed us, and know that it will be the Antichrist that stops the morning and evening oblation altar, and that he stops it at the consummation. Now, if you're using any Bible other than the KJV Holy Bible, the God Promised Perfect Holy Bible, you may not be able to get this understanding so simply and so explicitly. But both of these conditions, the man of sin has been revealed, the son of perdition, and there is a great apostasy. Almost all mainline denominations are just a matter of in varying degrees of apostasy. Paul went on, and he said, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know, this is another thing we're supposed to know, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. It is only God that restrains Satan and the killing and destruction that Satan wants to do. The top level of the Luciferian Antichrist control freaks of this New World Order, this global socialist New World Order, they have it chiseled in stone that they want to kill 93% of the people on this planet for their god of death, Lucifer. And only God is still restraining Satan. And you know, we're supposed to know this, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now let it will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. Did you hear that? Why will they perish? And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. You see, there is a pleasure for sin for a season. And there is a deceitfulness of sin. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because, why? This is the reason people will perish. Because they receive not the love of the truth. The word of God is truth. Jesus said so as he was sweating blood and praying for us in the garden of agony. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God, did you hear that? For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Yes, because they love not the truth. It is for this cause, because they don't love the Word of God, because they don't read the Word of God, because they don't even know what the Word of God is. Most people are using various profane counterfeit Bibles. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned. I hope you heard that. It is for this cause that they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. It is for this cause that God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. And that is the description of the time in which we now live. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Brethren, beloved. Brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. The word in this God-promised, perfect, and only Holy Bible, the King James Version that I like to call the King Jesus Version, the authorized version. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good work. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts unto the love of God and the patient waiting for Christ. Hallelujah. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we have behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Brethren, God is faithful. He will bring you through. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which you have committed unto him against that day. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Spend more time in the Word every day until that day when our Lord returns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.